BCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. Ladies and gentlemen, tensions are escalating with Iran since they downed an American drone. In response, President Trump has launched some hard-hitting sanctions against the nation. A spokesman for Iran's foreign ministry tweeted out that these new sanctions that target their supreme leader permanently end any chance of diplomacy between the two countries. The Iranian president has mocked the White House, and President Trump has threatened the country with great and overwhelming force and even obliteration if anything American is attacked. Well, this past Sunday, there was a chant of Death to America by Iranian members of parliament on state radio. Breaking Israel News reports that the amphibious assault ship USS Boxer with the 11th Marine Expeditionary Unit and a combat helicopter squadron has arrived in the region of the Strait of Hormuz. Other ships are being deployed. Where is this heading? What is about to take place? Joining us, we welcome back to Crosstalk Dr. Gary Frazier, a respected speaker and writer on the subject of Bible prophecy. He's a founder and president of Discovery Missions. He's the author of numerous books, including Miracle of Israel, Hell is for Real, and It Could Happen Tomorrow, along with other writings as well. Dr. Gary Frazier, thank you so much for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
Hey, Jim. It's always a pleasure to be with you. Thank you for having me on.
Let's talk about this escalating tension with Iran. They downed our drone. We at first thought there was going to be some very swift action. The president reconsidered that and then came back with these sanctions. Give us your perspective of just unfold for us what's taking place and whether or not the U.S. has responded appropriately, according to your opinion. Your thought on this escalating conflict.
Well, Jim, first of all, as you know, we've gotten to know each other well through the last few years. One of the things that I think is really crucial when we start a conversation like we are doing today is perspective. You have to look at these recent current events in light of the big picture. You know, one of the issues that people have oftentimes is they read about or hear about a certain event happening here or there or whatever. For example, just a few days ago, we read an article of 700 earthquakes hit a key California seismic zone. Mm-hmm. People react to those things. We don't want to be people who are reactionary. We want to be people who understand God's prophetic plan for the ages, and we anticipate certain things taking place because of what the Scripture says. And so when we see these things take place that the Scripture has talked about, we then put those in the proper perspective and make it and begin to look at, you know, the bigger picture, the larger plan. So if I may take just a moment and just talk about, you know, what we know that because the Jewish people have been regathered to their land, that we are in the last of the last days, the terminal generation, if you please. And I say that, frankly, because there is evidence to support that position. Evidence not only that the Jews are back in the land, because all end-time Bible prophecy depends upon them being there, but then in addition to that, we're also seeing the nations come together, moving rapidly toward a globalization of the world as we know it, a one-world government that Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 7 speak of. We're seeing the move in the explosion in technology that is making it possible ultimately for every person of this new globalized world to take a mark or a number. Without it, they can't buy, nor can they sell. We're witnessing, or have witnessed, the birth and the use of facial recognition. Today, we understand that we are a citizenry under surveillance. You can run, but you can't hide.
Right.
We're rapidly moving toward this, as I said a moment ago. I mentioned part of that globalization is that cashless society. And so these things are things that the Bible actually talks about and will take place. So as we see the world being set that facilitates these things, they should not surprise us. Now, one of the things that we're not surprised about is that the 38th and 39th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, 2,500 years ago, God laid out a plan how there would be a confederacy of nations that would be led by a man by the name of Gog, who would come from a country of Magog. And we know that the word Gog in Hebrew means head or ruler of Magog. We identify that country easily from history and ancient writers. The Magogians were the people who we now know today as the Russians. So there's going to be a Russian-led coalition of nations that will attack Israel. And we have the names in the scripture. And what's interesting is, in Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 5, the first country mentioned after Russia, that is Persia.
Wow.
Now, I just had a conversation day before yesterday with two Persians who I happened to run into them here in our area. We live in the Dallas-Fort Worth metropolitan area. And they're both car salesmen. And so in my conversation with this one, I was talking to him. He was a very wealthy Persian, Iranian. The Persians don't like to be called Iranians. Persian, he imported Valvoline oil into Iran and was an extremely wealthy individual with a large corporation and so forth, but left that country shortly after the Shah of Iran fell, thanks to Jimmy Carter, since we helped dispose of him and create this mess in Iran. And he talked about how much he hated the reigning mullahs in Iran, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we've talked about Iran. We see Turkey with Mr. Erdogan. And the countries go on that are named, and we'll get into this more a little bit later on. But that helps us put this in the right perspective to realize that if we are the terminal generation, yes, we are. Ship Israel's back in their land, yes, this is a deciding key factor. We're seeing these things line up, shape up, that the Bible speaks of. And now we have the saber rattling from Iran. Should not surprise us. Not in the least.
And not just saber-rattling from Iran, but I believe, even as you laid out Ezekiel 38, that Russia has also given some warning to the U.S.
Absolutely.
This matter.
Yeah, absolutely. Not only Russia, Turkey as well. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line is, this is not just blowing smoke in a vacuum. You see, the truth of the matter is that God already knows who's going to do what, when, and where.
Mm-hmm.
These people, because they're oblivious, because they have no awareness of the Creator and the plan that He's laid out for the world, they do not realize that they're actually playing a role in this. Their role is going to be the fulfillment. They're going to fulfill in their ignorance a biblical prophecy. And the tragedy of it all is that there are people who are going to die, and those who die without Christ go to hell. And that breaks the heart of God, but it also should break our heart. And our hearts are broken today because of the Iranian people who are living under this incredible pressure from these this religious ruling mullahs who have no desire for a better life, for these people to have, to be a part of the world community. Their goal is world, as it always has been since Islam was born, and that is world domination. And if it costs millions of lives to attain it, that's what they're willing to do, although not realizing they will never, let me say that emphatically, they will never dominate the world. God says so. In fact, they have a very dismal future when we read the 39th chapter of the book of Ezekiel.
So let me just, for a point of clarification, ask you this, Dr. Frazier. Is what we are observing today actual fulfillment of Ezekiel 38 and 39?
I don't think you can say it's the fulfillment of it, because the fulfillment of the passage will not take place until the invasion of Israel that is led by Russia and this coalition of Muslim nations. Because the one thing all these nations mention in Ezekiel 38, 5 and following, the one thing they have in common is that they all share the same religion.
Yeah.
They're all Islamic nations. So we can't say that this prophecy is being fulfilled. What we can say is God is continuing to allow the world stage to be set, and that just is a precursor to what is coming.
Yeah.
But that ought to get our attention in a big way.
Yeah, and so therefore we shouldn't be surprised by what's going on.
Not at all. We would anticipate these kinds of things that are being said. We would anticipate that Iran, because they're on a religious mission, and it, no matter how bad the sanctions are, no matter how crippling the sanctions are, the ruling party, the rulers in Iran, are not politicians. They are religious leaders. And they believe that Islam, that they're on a mission that was commissioned for them by their founder, Muhammad, and that that they are going to dominate the world. And one of the ways that's going to happen is that they believe that they will create a worldwide catastrophe that will then usher in the return of the 12th descendant from Muhammad, who they believe has been living, this is bizarre, all these many years in a well about 40 miles outside Tehran. They believe he's going to come back, the ruling Mahdi, they call him. He's going to be the man with the plan, but he can't return until these people create a worldwide catastrophe. Hmm. Well, nothing, you know, identifies a worldwide catastrophe more so than the launching of a nuclear weapon.
Yeah.
So when Iran tells us that that all bets are off and they're now going to step up their enrichment program, can I just tell you, Jim, they never stopped their enrichment program.
Hmm.
They never slowed the program down.
Oh, you must must not be listening to mainstream media then.
Well, I am. And I listen to the foolishness and the way that these people are so naive because they don't have, you know, let me just say this to all of our listeners. If you don't read the Word of God, if you don't study the Bible, you don't have a frame of reference to understand what's happening in our world today. And frankly, I say this, I am a supporter of our current president, but I'm not sure that he has the proper perspective as well of what we're dealing with in this situation.
One of the things that we heard this past weekend were those chants coming from the Iranian members of parliament, state radio, death to America, death to America.
Well, certainly, because, you know, the fact is, the reigning mullahs in Iran have stated, number one, destroy Israel. Number two, destroy America. You see, we are, because we're the friend of Israel, because we've been supportive of Israel's right to exist in the land which God gave them, we then, as a result of that, become the natural enemy of the Iranian government. Now, let me hasten to say this. There needs to be a separation between the current reigning government in Iran and the local Iranian people, because I will tell you that the majority of people in Iran do not want a war. What they want is a better quality of life for them and their children. The Iranian man, the Persian I was talking to, in fact, both of them I was talking to, one of them came here 31 years ago, the other one came a number of years later, but the second one that came in, he went through the legal process to become a citizen of America, served in the 82nd Airborne Division, and is a loyal American citizen now. But both of them said the same thing. We came here because we wanted freedom. And we did not have freedom in, you know, Iran once these people took over. Now, they didn't have a lot of freedom under the Shah when he was in charge, but he was the kind of person who was very pragmatic, and with the support of America, he kept the, what I'm going to call the radicals at bay. But once he was gone, then all bets were off, and everything has spiraled downhill since then. And we should continue, by the way, to see Iran say certain things. If you do this, we'll do this. Listen, they lie.
We got to take a break here. Dr. Gary Frazier, our guest. This is Crosstalk. Back in just 1 minute here on the VCY America Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, in an evolutionary sense, what do the terms advanced and primitive mean?
Chris, primitive animals are thought to be those that evolved long ago, which gave rise to more advanced types. Single-cell organisms are the most primitive, and then marine invertebrates, and up to fish, amphibians, mammals, and eventually man, the most advanced of all. Within each mammal type, evolutionists say that the more advanced ones are the ones that are modern. But extinct varieties were hardly primitive. Chris, the whole concept of primitive advances an evolutionary idea which is wrong on the face of it. Evolution did not happen. God created each basic category, much as we see it today. None is more advanced than the other. Each is complex. And that's the way I see it from a Back to Genesis perspective.
Visit our website at icr.org. I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Gary Frazier, our guest today. We're discussing the conflict with Iran. Will there ever be peace in the Middle East? And related issues. Brother Frazier, we see what's going on here, and we see the escalation that is been mounting between the rhetoric of Iran and that here of the United States. Where do you see this going from here? I mean, it doesn't. We're waiting. Who's going to blink in all of this? What do we see happening? Of course, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but where can we expect this is going to go with the escalation taking place?
Well, as I survey the picture, of course, as you know, Jim, it's been my privilege to be in the Middle East more than 200 times since the 70s, and I make it a matter of my business to watch and pay attention and to study and research the events that are taking place in the Middle East, because I'm the one who believes that the Word of God is authoritative, mm-hmm. that it's accurate, and that the things, the prophecies, that over 1,000 prophecies in the Word of God, of which half have already been literally fulfilled, just as the Word of God said they would. And so I expect that the remaining ones will be fulfilled likewise. And so I'm watching. And so I always ask this question, and especially with regard to what I'm seeing happening right now with Iran, and I ask five questions: what, where, who, why, and when. And because as I read the Word of God, I understand that what is coming is a war, and it's going to happen in the land of Israel, the Bible tells us. So the what's a war, the where is Israel. It tells us right here in the Word of God that this coalition is going to come against the Jewish people, and that they will ultimately, in the end, be destroyed by God himself on the mountains of Israel. But one of the critical parts is the why and the when. The why is pretty clear. The Bible says repeatedly that God is going to show himself to be the deliverer of the Jewish people through this event, that they might know him, that they would recognize who he is. Now, the when is the real critical part here, and that is the when can be any day now. Why do I say that? Well, the Bible teaches that there is an order of events that are coming. One of them is going to be a trumpet blast that will sound from above when Jesus Christ claims his bride and calls every man, woman, boy, and girl who has by faith put their confidence and trust not in religion, not in good works, but in him and him alone and what he did upon the cross. When the Bible speaks about, we sing the song, Jesus paid it all, it's because Jesus did pay it all. You and I can't add one thing to what Christ did on the cross.
Right.
But when we repent and turn from our sin and we put our trust and confidence in him, we become born into his forever family, and he has a promise. And the promise is that, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you or take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. It's the promise of Jesus to come for his bride. We call that event, many call it, the rapture of the church. I prefer to call it the coming of Christ for the saved, the bride. But anyway, that event is going to take place, and I will tell you that if you think about this for a moment, at least in my mind, it makes perfect sense. You see, the believers in America have been the friend of the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. Our president is supportive of the nation of Israel, unlike almost any other president we've had in recent times. He is extremely supportive of their right in moving the embassy there, which was the right thing to do. And he has taken a posture that says, look, these people have the right to live in this land, unlike what most of the Muslim Arab world says. Now, that said, the truth of the matter is that the evangelical community in America, if something were to happen to us, if we were to be gone, then there is no friend of Israel. Find me a friend of the nation of Israel in the world anywhere other than the United States of America. Europe is anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian, completely. There's obviously believers scattered around the world, but I'm talking about this on the national level. It's the United States of America that stands with the nation of Israel and has pledged to support them. And so the bottom line is, you take all the evangelical believers out of the world in this event called the coming of Christ for the saints or the rapture of the church, What you have now left is an anti-Semitic, Jew-hating world, along with an America-hating world. It is my belief that once that event occurs, and then on the heels of that, think of the confusion. Now, listen, I know that people today say, you know what, guys like you, we've heard this for so many years, and we're at the point now we don't even believe this stuff's going to happen anymore. In fact,
there are books coming out on that now. Books coming out saying, well, it hasn't happened yet, so we must have been wrong, and therefore we're wrong in other beliefs too.
Yeah, and let's not give a title or an author of such a book any credit.
Mm-hmm.
But you have made it. I have read. We're reading Christian writers today who are saying, you know, we don't believe this stuff anymore. It was popular back in the 60s and 70s or whatever, but we don't believe this anymore.
Yeah.
Well, the truth of the matter is that you and I believe it because the Word of God is timeless, eternal, and unchanging. God's plan is not fulfilled instantaneously. You know, one of the things, Jim, that I know that you agree with me on this, God's promises and prophecies in Scripture are not fulfilled instantaneously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we walk in a room today, we flip a light switch on, it goes from darkness to daylight. But that's not how biblical prophecy works.
Right.
God, through his prophets, gave specific prophecies of events that would happen, but they happen over time. There's a process that is at work incrementally, and over time, that process gets fulfilled. You know, the ancient prophets would write about these things, and they would see, for example, the scattering of the Jewish people, and they would see the return, regathering of the Jewish people, but they didn't see the valley in between those mountaintops. And many times those valleys are extended periods of time. There was no way that they thought that the Jewish people would be scattered from their land for 1,878 years before they were regathered to their land. And yet that's exactly how long the Jews were expelled from their land from 70 AD to 1948. So the bottom line is that we today have to realize that there is a process underway, and that while we may or may not see every little thing come to pass, God is at work. He is putting the pieces in place, and his promises and prophecies will be fulfilled. And so I just think that we're standing on the threshold, and while we're not going to see a lot of these prophecies fulfilled, especially those that take place during this horrific time called the tribulation period, which is clearly taught in Revelation 6 through chapter 19. But it's very disconcerting to me that we have friends of ours and colleagues who are Christians, and I don't question their love for Jesus. But it concerns me greatly when they send an uncertain sound through writings and sermons about, you know, look, this has been so long ago, who cares? Well, that's what 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 says. You must understand this in the last days. The scoffers or the mockers will come who will say, where is this coming that's been promised so long?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because things haven't happened quickly, they just assume they're not going to happen. That is a very, very serious mistake on their part. And so what we need to do, people who believe the Word of God, like you, like me, so many others, we continue to stand on the truth of Scripture, and we need to continue to be clear in our message that the Word of God is going to be fulfilled. Jesus Christ is coming, and the issue is every one of us needs to be ready for that event.
Amen. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Frazier has written several books, but one that we're going to mention today, which we're making available through Crosstalk, it's a book entitled It Could Happen Tomorrow. Now, we did a couple of interviews highlighting this book in particular, but we are making it available through our program today, whereby you discover the emerging technologies, the global effects toward a new world order. You also have the dramatic prophetic rise of Islamic dominance, leaving Israel imperiled. He writes about what makes our generation different, the signs that have already been fulfilled. It Could Happen Tomorrow is about how these events are, how they just line up with Bible prophecy. And if you'd like to obtain a copy of this book, It Could Happen Tomorrow, we're making one copy available for donation of $15 or two copies available for a donation of $25. It's available through our switchboard at 1-800-729-9829. It could happen tomorrow. That's 800-729-9829. It's future events that will shake the world. Dr. Frazier, while all this is going on, we're waiting upon this release of a peace plan from the Trump administration for Israel. One supposed leak indicates that the Trump peace plan is going to lead to full Palestinian statehood. Jared Kushner has just this past weekend been out in Bahrain and promoting this and saying this peace plan would inject $50 billion into struggling economies. What about this peace plan coming forth from the Trump administration?
Well, first of all, it concerns me greatly, Jim, that our present administration is making the same mistake that previous generations under Barack Obama, George W. Bush, and Bill Clinton made in trying to think that they can resolve this quote-unquote crisis between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Listen, you can't throw enough money, because here's what they're all missing. This is not about a Palestinian state. The Palestinian leadership does not want a state. They've had numerous opportunities to have a state, and they have categorically rejected it every time. Why? Because their holy book, the Quran, forbids them to have peace with the Jewish people. And so these people are not talking about a political situation. They're really not politicians. They're religiously driven zealots who have a book that tells them that they can never, ever surrender, that they will dominate the world. So we've had this come so many, this has been on the table many, many times before. Mm-hmm. And I'm just saddened that our present administration, as much as I support their desire for such a thing, they need to come into the 21st century and to realize that this is never going to happen. Let me be clear, categorically, and I hope everybody can hear what I'm about to say and understand it. There will never be peace in the Middle East. Why? Because we're working with a satanically driven religion called Islam, who has the goal of world domination and the second goal to destroy anyone and everyone who does not agree with them. Now, does that mean that we shouldn't somehow try? And yes, you can try. Yes, we can try to treat people humanely and so forth. And again, I want to separate the people from the plan, because the rulers, the leadership, they're never going to yield. The people on the street, the people stuck in Gaza, the people in much of the, quote, disputed territories, which are nothing more than, I mean, just simply biblical Judea and Samaria, they would like to have a better quality of life too, but they're being ruled over by these horrible leaders who don't care about these people's lives. Life means nothing to them. All that matters is dominating the world. So there's never going to be peace. So we're throwing $50 billion, and we won't throw $50 billion at this problem. It doesn't matter if you threw $500 billion. It won't be resolved.
Wow. We're going to take a quick break. I've got just a couple more things to run by our guest today. Then we'll open phone lines, so stay tuned for it. Dealing with the Iran conflict and will there ever be peace in the Middle East? Our number here at Crosstalk will be opening shortly, so stay with us. We'll be back in a minute.
It is hard to believe that our society has changed so much that sharing the love of Christ might be characterized as hate. Yet the greatest need of mankind is to come to personal faith in Jesus Christ. To many, witnessing can be daunting, discouraging, and difficult in many ways, and as a result, many shy away from sharing this good news. In the book, By Which We Are Saved, authors Preston and Kelly Condra provide helpful information on sharing the gospel with confidence. It's a complete handbook for witnessing, equipping the Christian with not only the gospel message, but how to handle objections with concise responses. You will learn how you can incorporate evangelism more fully in your daily life. By Which We Are Saved is available from VCY for a donation of $16 or more. To obtain your copy, call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Gary Fraser is our guest today. He's a respected speaker, writer on the subject of Bible prophecy, founder and president of Discovery Missions, talking about the Iran conflict going on right now, and will there ever be peace in the Middle East? Brother, you just said that there will never be peace in the Middle East. Scripture does tell us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Are we praying in vain? And isn't there a time coming when there actually will be peace? There's going to be some peace agreement signed?
There is, and let me clarify, when I say that there'll never be peace, what I really meant was there's not going to be peace in the Middle East in our time that we as believers are going to see. And let me clarify this. Daniel chapter 9 reveals to us that there is going to be a peace agreement that will be entered into by a man who will come out of the revived form of the ancient Roman Empire. The Bible says he'll come from those who destroyed Jerusalem, and this, of course, was the Romans. And this person has a name. His name is Antichrist, and that's capital A. And he is going to have a dynamic, charismatic personality. I personally think he's alive now, although he doesn't know who he is, because he will not assume that position until, as 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 teaches, until the restrainer is taken out of the way. And that, of course, is the bride of Christ in the rapture. And then when the bride, the church, is gone, this man will then be allowed to come upon the scene. And the Bible says the whole world's going to go after him. And one of the things that he's going to do, his very first thing, is he is going to resolve the Middle East conflict between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Now, how will he do that? Well, first of all, remember what I said a moment ago, that this event will take place, the win of it, it will happen shortly after the church is taken out of the world, because there'll be such incredible confusion when millions of people are missing instantaneously. But more importantly, it will be an opportunity for the ruling mullahs, along with this Russian leader, to look and say, wait a minute, America is greatly weakened. They have no will to stand in the gap to support Israel. Now is our time to finish these Jews once and for all, and therefore the attack takes place. But the attack ends in the 39th chapter of Ezekiel with God intervening and destroying them on the mountains of Israel. The Bible says it would be such a horrendous thing that for 7 months they will be burying the dead. Now, there is a chronological issue involved in this passage as well. And it says that for 7 years they will burn weapons of warfare for fuel. And that's why I'm saying that this event will take place shortly after the departure of the church. And then, of course, the result of that conflict, it will result in a peace agreement, because basically this person will be able to say, hey, look what's happened. There's chaos, confusion in various parts of the world. All these people have been, they're missing. There's obviously been an invasion from outer space. These people are just gone. And now this massive slaughter here, we need to lay our weapons down, come together, and Islam is going to suffer such a horrendous defeat upon the mountains of Israel that they will come to the table. And out of that convening conference will come a peace treaty that will bring a peace to the Middle East. It will allow the Jews, according to Daniel 9, to rebuild their temple. And 3.5 years later, literally, the Antichrist and his forces turn against Israel in the final 3.5 years of what is called the time of Jacob's trouble, or the Great Tribulation takes place. And so there will be a temporary peace. It'll last somewhat 3.5 years according to Scripture, although there may be various levels of how one might define peace. But there is going to be a peace agreement signed. But before the bride, before you and I, Jim, and before our generation disappears from here, there's not going to be peace.
Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Still with us, Brother Fraser?
Oh, I am.
Okay,
absolutely.
Very good. Okay, folks, get on the line here. We'll take your calls in a moment. One last question here, though, before we take our first call, and that has to do with this election in Israel. We saw Benjamin Netanyahu come forth, but due to a failure to form a coalition government, Israel's called for new elections. How does that factor into these matters that are transpiring?
Well, I don't really think that it does. First of all, Netanyahu will retain The Likud party will retain control in Israel. This is just internal politics. Look, there are those on the left in Israel, just like we have in America, who are very naive. They don't understand that safety is achieved and maintained through strength. And so they're trying to do everything they can. They want to give away everything in the world, to the Palestinians to try to, but again, to come to the peace table, but they don't get it. You can't give them enough. You can never give the leadership enough, because you got to realize, they have a very deep conviction that this is what their God has told them to do, and they are going to do what they feel their God has told them to do. And one of the things is they can never have peace with Israel, with the Jew. So as a result of that, it doesn't matter how much talking there is. Now, they can always, lie and say, well, if you do this, we'll do this. But all these are stall tactics. That's what we witnessed with Iran time and time and time again. We saw the same thing with Saddam Hussein in Iraq before his fall. In Islam, they believe it's okay to lie to the infidel. And the infidel, by definition, is anyone who is not a Muslim.
Right.
But let me hasten to say this very quickly. One of the reasons that you and I are having this conversation today is not just because we're trying to be sensational or to scare anyone concerning what's happening in the world overall. We're having this conversation because we are both men of faith who believe with all of our hearts, based on the authority of the Word of God, which has never been proven wrong by any person. Historically, it is accurate. And we understand that because of what the Scripture says, that the world is spinning toward its ultimate return of Jesus Christ. But the sad part is, as Matthew 7, verse 13 and following says, is that broad is the road that leads to destruction, and most people go that way. And narrow is the road that leads to eternal life, and few there are that find it. Our goal is that people would come to their understanding of who God the Creator is and how He proved His love for us through the person of Jesus Christ, and how one day every person is going to stand before Jesus.
Yeah.
The Bible is clear that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, both in heaven and in hell. And I will tell you that the thing that troubles me the most, Jim, is that as I travel across this country week after week, speaking about on this particular subject and others as well, I find that basically there's just a state of disinterest. Most people today are busy living their own lives. Okay, they watch the news, they look at the internet a few minutes a day or whatever. They're totally, and I say this from a broken heart, they're totally clueless about how close we are to meeting the Lord Jesus Christ and or being left behind.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I'm studying through once again. Of course, I teach the book of Genesis, I preach through that many, many times, do conferences on the subject. But in chapter 6, there's going to be a group of people who are going to be followers of Christ during the tribulation. They're known as the tribulation martyrs. But they're asking the question after they're dead. They're having a conversation with God, and they're saying, how long before you avenge our blood?
Mm.
How long? And the truth of the matter is, people today, because of the fact that this time frame has taken place, this gap of such an extended period of time, today, many people say, well, how long is this going to be? I mean, they're being deceived into now thinking that, well, maybe this is really not true. Maybe it's just, as you mentioned and I mentioned a moment ago, maybe it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
Friends, listen to me. It's going to happen just exactly like the Word of God says it is.
Amen. Let's get to the phone lines. John is our first caller here on the air. John.
How you doing?
John, right to your point, please.
Well, anyway, I don't believe that the Antichrist or the false prophet are around because, I don't see anyone walking around with seven heads or another one walking around with two horns.
Okay. Figure of speech, John, and certainly Scripture speaks in that regard. Is that not right, Brother Gary?
Yeah, John, listen, I'm not trying to be unkind, but I don't think that's a serious question.
Mm-hmm.
The truth of the matter is that you're an intelligent individual, and you read the Scripture, you understand that we're not going to see anybody with seven heads, but it talks about certain kingdoms, and the context is extremely important in Scripture. But thanks for the call anyway.
Mick is calling from West Dallas. You're on the air, Mick.
Hi, good afternoon, guys. I just wanted to read a scripture and then have a quick comment. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3 says, "Let no man deceive you by means. That day shall not come except come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." I just want to read a quote here. It says, "Apostasia is a Greek compound of echo, which means from, and hystemi, which means stand. One of its meanings in the Greek lexicon is a departure or a disappearance. The early translations of the Bible support the notion that this verse is referring to the pre-tribulation rapture." Mm-hmm. Now, on a serious matter, I just want to commend his book. It could happen tomorrow. I really feel it's more of a study guide.
Mm-hmm.
And that quote I just read is from his book, page 29. I would encourage all your listeners to get that book and study it like I did. It gave me a whole deeper understanding of the rapture. And
thank you so much for having me. Hey, we appreciate
thank
that
you,
so
Mick.
Much. And you happen to be, you know, Kenneth Weiss, in his Word Studies in the New Testament, clarifies what you just said. And it's really important for us to understand this, because many times people do not realize they're watching for some kind of a falling away from the faith. And there is going to be one of those. In fact, 1 Timothy talks about that. But that's not what's spoken of here. What's spoken of here is this is a departure.
Yeah.
And you are so right. He's talking about the coming of Jesus for his bride, taking us out of the world. Hey, thanks for your call.
Thank you, Mick. Appreciate it. By the way, that book, It Could Happen Tomorrow, chapters are The Great Disappearing, America in Prophecy, The Birth of the New World Order, The Islamic Invasion of Israel, The Great Deceiver, Global Religion, The Temple Rebuilt, The Mark, The Glorious Appearing. Again, one copy available for donation of $15 or two copies for a donation of $25, so you can share with another. Call 800-729-9829. Rory, you're next. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Your guest said that if American evangelicals lose their influence, Israel would have no more support in the USA. However, almost all liberal Democrat U.S. Senate candidates depend on Israel's Jewish supporters for most of their campaign financing. U.S. Democrats depend on the Israelis' movement.
Well, let me respond by saying there needs to be clarification between Jews and Israelis. When we talk about Israelis, we're talking about people who live in the land of Israel. When we talk about American Judaism, which today is largely symbolic as opposed to being serious about their Jewish faith and their Jewishness, there's a big separation in those two. And yes, there are a lot of people, Jewish people, who do donate money to Israel and so forth. But the truth of the matter is, the real friend of Israel, the Democrats on the left, who give tacit, acceptance of and support for Israel, they may do that now, but when the time gets tough, they will not be there, but trust me.
Yeah, and look at the anti-Semitism comment coming from one of their members, and they couldn't even denounce that individual.
They wouldn't do it.
Yeah. Thank you for the call. We're up against a break. Dr. Gary Frazier is our guest, and we'll take calls here in our final segment as well as we deal with this Iran conflict, and will there ever be peace in the Middle East, as so many are benefiting from his book as well, It Could Happen Tomorrow, that really breaks these things down far more than what we can get into the broadcast today. You can call 800-729-9829. Back in just a minute. This is Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Weekend Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. Recently, doing some research on capitalism and slavery, I stumbled upon an article online by Teen Vogue seeking to brainwash young teenagers into believing the evils of capitalism included such things as the creation of slavery. Well, Thomas Sowell points out in an excellent article that it is actually the Christians and the capitalists that ended slavery. Yes, indeed, the anti-slavery movement began with 12 religious men in London in 1787. They met in a print shop to discuss how they could end the scourge of slavery. 12 businessmen, 12 capitalists, 12 Christians. And their work led to Britain taking upon itself becoming the policeman of the world to board slave ships, and America joined in later, and it was the Christians and the capitalists who ended slavery.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Dr. Gary Frazier, our guest today, right back to the phone lines. Let's go to Kevin, who's calling in from South Dakota. Kevin, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. I just wanted to say thank you, Dr. Frazier, for your thoughts, comments, and yet the truths that you're sharing from God's Word. We see a world that's going, where is this God of yours, as we share and try to be salt and light.
And
what you've said and shared also, and something I think about, Dr. Frazier, that one of the things that you said, several of the things, but one of them you talked about, didn't you not say that people are often around, the people themselves would like peace, would like to seek peace, is one of the questions, I guess, that you, I think you made that comment.
Yes, the people would love to have a quality of life. They would like to live at peace, but it's the leadership, the rulers, who are not going to let that happen.
Yeah.
Well, and with that thought, then a quick thought with that. When we see the response of President Trump, and that just fit into the mold, I guess, what I was thinking in your comment, we see him, if you want to call it backpedal, which that's not what we're going to do. I think he was just having restraint in what we see is taking place here, how he's backpedal. Maybe he's thinking, too, maybe the people will do a little uprising here and can make us take a stand here. But it's also interesting, and then with that thought, it's also interesting, Dr. Frazier, that when you talk about the rapture, and I guess I've always thought, my dad's always said, as a kid, I remember he said, this country is going to fall like an old brick building, just tumble within. And we think about that, if we can be so arrogant, I guess I'm going to say it that way, that, yes, the United States has been a guiding light and a force in the world that God has used for 200-plus years. But we think about the rapture and then to see the world tumbling around us. What happens if this country falls and that world tumbles around us before the rapture?
Well, and let me also say, as I write in the book, one of the things you have to be aware of, America, is we're gasping here. We're grabbing for breath in our last days here. We know the Bible teaches you cannot have a one-world government and have a superpower that's a democracy, in our case, a constitutional republic. So something is going to happen, has to happen to America. But the truth is, again, we have been watching an incremental process of the America that our founders brought into existence based on the Word of God, etc. We're dying. And the truth is, there are so many reasons why America's in trouble. So I wrote an entire chapter about that.
Yeah.
Thank you for your call, though.
Thank you.
Thoughts.
Yeah, and more thoughts on the book itself. Judy is calling from Kentucky. Judy, you're on the air.
I wrote an entire chapter about that.
Judy, hello? Go ahead. You're on the air. Turn your radio down.
I just wanted to say that the Bible says that on the sixth trump, the Antichrist comes. On the seventh trump, Jesus comes, and he's going to send his angels on all four corners of this earth to rapture out his people.
What do you think about that, Dr. Frazier?
Well, he's raised an interesting thought, but it needs a ton of clarification, and there's no possible way that we're going to be able to do that in this moment in time. Yes, there is going to be a gathering of the bride of Christ, but the trumpets, understanding the trumpets is a whole other situation.
Right, and the various trumpet judgments that take place.
Right, yeah.
Thank you, Judy. Glenn in Duluth, Minnesota, you're on the air.
Hi. I had a quick question about where it says in the New Testament about sending the world a strong delusion that they might believe a lie. And I'm seeing things that I never thought I would see in my lifetime, everything from people holding signs up saying they hate the Jews, get out Israel, everything LGBT, people being convinced that they can be whoever they want to be. Is this part of this delusion, possibly?
Well, actually, it is, because what's happening, we are involved in spiritual warfare. And Satan's game has always been confusion. It's always been the attempt to justify evil. This is one of the things that's happening not only around the world, in westernized countries such as Europe and so forth, but especially here in America, this idea that, you know, you can take your sin and what God calls perversion and force Bible-believing Christians to not just accept it but affirm it. That's just not going to happen to people who actually believe and know. If you know Jesus Christ, you're never going to agree with these. We love people, we despise their sin, but yeah, it's all delusion. It's all aimed at teaching that there is no God and that there will never be judgment, which is the basic premise of evolution. Thanks for your call.
Thank you, and we're going to squeeze one last call in from Salina, Kansas. Steve, you're on the air.
Jim and Gary, there will never be total peace in our nation. In the Middle East of the world, there won't be total peace in our own person unless we believe that Jesus Christ died for our sins and God's in control. And also, for those who take this lightly, and they die in their sins. Their fate is sealed. And can you imagine how terrifying it will be when we stand before Jesus Christ and he says, I never knew you. I pray for them. I fear for them because in my sinful mind, that's for eternity. And can you imagine that?
Hmm.
It's a terrible thought, and I appreciate you bringing that up because really that's the reason that VCY America does what they do. It's why we do what we do, why so many others. You know, we are in the last days, and our message to the world is that Jesus Christ is coming. And one day, as we mentioned earlier, you know, every knee will bow, and there's only two destinations. There's an eternal being, eternal life, and being in the presence of Jesus as a result of our repentance and our commitment to him, to trust him. Or there is a hell. And I wrote a book called Hell is for Real for that very reason.
Right.
Because it's a tragedy. It breaks our hearts when we think about the lostness of people. And by the way, every day that Jesus does not come is just a testimony of his grace and mercy and his desire that all men would come into a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And so it's the grace of God that he hasn't come today, but he is going to come. He's going to come soon. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Steve. Dr. Frazier, we've got just a minute left. What thought do you want to leave with our listeners today?
Well, I think the most important thing that we all need to realize is this. You know, we are all born with a sin nature, and as a result of that, we sin. The truth of the matter is that there comes a time in the life of every person where conviction comes in our lives, and we have to make a decision. Either I'm going to turn from my sin and put my confidence and faith and trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ, or I'm going to reject him. And when we do that, then we do not realize that we're not rejecting him only for the physical life which we experience right now, but we're rejecting him for all of eternity. You know, the Bible says, Paul's in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 10, talks about how all of these different sins, and he talks about adultery and greed and homosexuality, you know, all these sins. And then he says, and of such were one of you. Look, we have all sinned. I'm a sinner, Jim. You're a sinner. We've all sinned. We've broken the laws of God. But Paul says, but of such were, past tense, once we come to know Christ, he sets us on the road of redemption and gives us a desire to become more like Jesus.
Amen. The book is called It Could Happen Tomorrow, Future Events That Will Shake the World. Available here, you can call 1-800-729-9829. Dr. Frazier, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Jim.
And folks, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.